I'm Carol Hills, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. It's still unclear who was behind the two recent suicide bombings in the southern Russian city of Volgograd, but Russian officials have suggested that Sunday's suicide bomber was a woman. And there's some indication that the attacks have to do with a long-simmering ethnic conflict in Chechnya and Dagestan. And in that conflict, it isn't rare to find women deployed as suicide bombers. They even have a name, Black Widows. Mia Bloom is the author of Bombshell, Women in Terrorism.
You know, the women became involved, I think, in many of the same ways that the men did. Starting in 1991, when Chechen tried to gain independence, as most of the former Soviet Union republics were breaking apart, what started as largely what we would consider to be a secular ethnic independence movement was really just taken over by Islamists.
But what about women? How did they get involved? How did they start to be used as what are called black widows in terms of directly in the conflict?
Starting in about June 2000, we saw the very first female suicide bomber. And this particular bomber, a very, very personal reason, her name was Hava Baraeva. What she did was she went after the Russian military general who had had her husband killed. And, you know, she killed him in a suicide bombing. And I think that this is where the term was coined, the Black Widow. When you look at the 50 women who have been suicide bombers in the last 13 years, not all of them have been widows. Not all of them have been married. But I think it was one way in which the Russians were able to downgrade the conflict and sort of undermine the political aspect of it by making it appear that it was purely this visceral reaction by women who were mourning to lash out, when in fact, many of the women might have been individually motivated because they'd lost a loved one, but there was a whole political organization behind it with goals, with fundraising, you know, everything associated with a political movement.
But in the case of that first so-called Black Widow, was it her idea? Did she just go off and kill this Russian person, or was she encouraged and recruited to do this?
I think she was affiliated with the organization at the time, the Chechen Independence Movement, but I think a lot of it was individual motivation. That's why she sought not just any Russian, but the Russian who was responsible for her husband's death. That has transformed. Now it's, you know, far less specific. When the Chechens go after Russians, they will sometimes make a deliberate choice, you know, whether they're going after civilians or they're going after military personnel. As we've seen the shift towards increasing numbers of civilian casualty, that's where we see a lot more women, because the women blend in with the civilian population very well. And so I think that that in part may also reflect why we've seen the increase in the number of women, as well as the fact that it's maybe been more difficult for male Chechens to pass through checkpoints and, you know, get to Moscow or get to Volgograd or wherever they're going. What we're seeing with women, however, is the combination between maybe individual motivation and levels of coercion. And so the Russians really capitalize on the propaganda value of portraying Chechen women as being wholly victimized and instruments, that they have no decision-making of their own. When in fact, when you talk to women who are involved in terrorist movements, that couldn't be further from the truth.
Have you talked to women who are directly involved in terrorist movements?
Yes. For the book Bombshell, I interviewed women around the world.
Did you interview any women from Chechnya or Dagestan?
I spoke to women from Chechnya and Dagestan who were in the diaspora.
In your conversations, what did they say are the motivations?
For them, the motivations for women are not necessarily different than the motivations for men. You know, it's really about getting the Russians out. What makes the women's complaints, let's say, unique is the way in which Russian security forces have targeted women in a way that we don't see anywhere else in the world, where the Duma has passed a law that Russian security forces and police are allowed to strip search any woman who's wearing traditional clothing like the veil. And so that has really put women under the microscope, Chechen and Dagestani women. And so they feel that they are being targeted. And there's also been lots of reports by Memorial and the human rights organizations that Russian soldiers, while in Chechnya and Dagestan, have really taken liberties with the young women. Women have reported being sexually abused, or women go missing for weeks at a time, and then the Russian soldiers will sell them back to their families. So I think the women are motivated not just because they've lost a loved one, but that they feel that Russians have really gone after them in a very particular way.
You mentioned that there's so much more media focus and questioning when it's a woman. That's in part because the overwhelming number of crimes and acts of violence are committed by men, isn't it?
There is a perception. We still have a perception that, you know, women are the peacemakers and that, you know, the softer sex, the kinder sex. And I think that having spent the last few years either speaking with women who are in terrorist movements or failed suicide bombers, that ultimately I haven't seen evidence that consistently across the world, women are by nature going to be inherently more peaceful. In fact, if you look at Golda Meir and Indira Gandhi and Maggie Thatcher, those might have been three of the most bloodthirsty leaders of the 20th century. And
I'm not talking about peaceful, but simply not committing acts of violence. There's distinctions. But I think statistically, it's overwhelming that men commit more crimes and acts
men,
of violence.
Men do, especially in Western societies, men do commit more crimes. I think that if you go into conflict zones, you'll see women participating in violence. In the Rwanda, okay. In the trials at the ICTR, lots of women have been tried with crimes of genocide, which again is really hard for people to fathom that women were participating in the genocide, as well as in Sierra Leone, as well as in the DRC. There are units, women battle units in each of these civil wars. And in each of the terrorist movements that I've looked at, whether it was the Provisional IRA or, you know, the Emirates and Caliphate movement in Chechnya or Hamas and Islamic Jihad, women have played some very key roles. And in fact, it shouldn't even be surprising to us because if you go back to the 60s and 70s, women were involved in all the European terrorist movements. Bader Meinhof was named partly after Ulrike Meinhof. So the idea that women don't engage in violence, I think, is one of the things that the terrorist groups hope that we continue to believe so that it does have that shock value when a woman does participate.
Mia Bloom is the author of Bombshell, Women in Terrorism, and she also teaches at UMass Lowell. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.